Good morning. I'm cheating on your time. We're about 30 seconds beforehand. Is that okay if we start early? No. I guess by the time we waited, we lost the 30 seconds, haven't we? Who has a hymn that they would like to start us with? Number six? Number six. Oh, I like this hymn. God in mercy sent his son. Well, let's sing this first. God in mercy. Before we finish the hymn, this hymn tells us so much what the Sunday school is about. It tells by saying, God in mercy sent his son. You know, sometimes as young people, as even children, we are told we are to do the work of an evangelist. We're to tell forth the story of God's love. And often we'll say, well, where do you begin? How do you tell someone about the love of God? Here's a story, isn't it? It always begins by saying that God in mercy sent his son to a world by sin undone. This is very important to proclaim that it is God's love who sent his son. Why did he send his son to this world? Because this world has sinners like you and I. So the world is full of sin and is undone. And the good news is Jesus Christ, he's the one that came down to this world. He was crucified and he came to die for sinner like me. That's the gospel story, isn't it? Now let's sing the last verse. Christ the Lord. Let's look to the Lord for help. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ. And surely, we can sing him as such to know that God sent his son into this world. God in mercy sent his son. And that he came. He came to suffer. He came to die. He came to shed his blood for us on the cross. We thank thee that this morning we can proclaim that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, has cleansed us from all sin. So we look to thee now. We commit this meeting into thine hand. We pray if there be any boy, girl, or even older ones too, who are still lost, who have not yet been washed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou would help them to repent while there is still time. So we look to thee for help. We think of perhaps Sunday school and gospel activities in many other places going on at the same hour. We pray for blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who else has another hymn? Maybe I'll see someone from this side of the room this time. We've got the bigger kids here. No one. I just see smile. And when I look at you, you look down. That means you have something, but you don't want to give it, right? You have one? No? Oh, someone. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. Go. What number would you like? Number one? Number one, almost persuaded now. Now, I think there's a few key words here. Now, and let's see why it tells us now. Let's sing number one. Almost so the hymn writer reminds us here that now is the time. Now is the time to believe, not tomorrow. Who has another hymn? Oh, I see a hand back there. Number five. Oh, that's a nice one. Oh, happy day. Now, before we sing this, I have a little request. Sometimes it's funny when you're standing at the other end of the room. You hear that when we sing, it sounds different. Because some things they should sing faster, some things they should sing slower. And up here, we got all this different sound. It doesn't sound like singing in one accord, in one melody. So, now I know some of you know physics very well, right? Sound, I can see some of the voices. How fast does sound travel? Faster than an airplane, right? Well, some airplane. So that means by the time you hear someone from across the room, there's already a delay. So keep that in mind. Don't wait for the other side. And then we have some people call it, it's nice, that's echo of grace, right? Not quite that. Sometimes it sounds more like a discord. So let's see if we can try that, especially we are singing something like this. Oh, happy day. How happy are you when you don't even go along with your brethren? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Can we sing that from our heart and sing, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Let's sing this together. Oh, happy day. How many of you learned a Sunday school verse? Oh, one. Just one out of all of these. I know most of you have learned it. I'm going to read it first. Oh, I see a big boy put his finger up. Two. That's good. So what? Three. Oh, now we're talking. I'm going to read the verse first. Then I'm going to sing one more hymn. Then we're going to say the verse. Would that be okay? Then to give you a chance to refresh your memory if you have to look it up. Okay? The verse is, I believe, is in Psalm 34, verse 8. Very well-known verse. Many of us know this. So let me just read this. Verse 8, Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." I think if you're younger, it'd be very good even to learn the first part of the verse, right? Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. If you're a little older, if you think you're smarter than your friends, then you should say the rest of the verse. And that says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, in my hand, I don't like this here. In Canada, we call this lollipop. Down here, I notice you put a label on it called dum-dums. So I don't know what it means. I don't know if it means if you eat this, you become a dum-dum, or you lick the dum-dums. I don't know. But I don't know. Do you think this dum-dum would taste good? What's the best way to find out if this dum-dum is good? Oh, I just show it to you. Okay, see? Is it good? How do you know?
Because, forget.
You forget. What if this is garlic flavored dum-dum? Do you think you would still like that? Oh, I know, wasabi flavor. How's that? How do you know if this is good? Okay, I'll tell you. After you say the verse, I will give you one to taste. Do you think that's a better way to find out? Then you can taste and you can see that this is good. So let's have one more hymn. You have another one. Okay. No, he doesn't. Okay. I know. Can I pick one for you? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Number 60.
Number 60. I will have trouble with this hymn sheet. Or do you mean 16?
Yeah.
Which one is that? Point to me. Show me that one.
Okay.
Is this the one? Whosoever? Mm-hmm. Huh? Okay. So we'll sing the first verse of number 16. Whosoever heareth there's a big word in this hymn. Whosoever. Who does it talk about? Gail, you even tell me, what does it mean? Whosoever. Yeah. Anyone. You sure?
Yeah.
But, what's the but? But, anyone? Anyone. And that's very good. Even I tried to trip you up and you didn't get tripped up. You know, I tell this story often. There's a boy. How many of you wear t-shirts with slogans on it? No? Never? Yeah? Some slogan is not good. You got to be careful. You got to read and see. But one, someone told me, I didn't see it. This boy had a t-shirt. On the back of the t-shirt, it said, I am whosoever. Isn't that nice? So here, it says, whosoever, I can say, I am. I'm the one that when I hear, we can shout that sound because of the blessed tidings that God has sent all the world around. Okay, how many of you would like me to skip the verse part? Because that's a tough part. Anyone want me to skip that? No? You're thinking of the dum-dum, right? Do I have any volunteer to be the first? Go ahead.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him.
Very good. Now you can taste and see if you like the garlic flavor. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, now that we're done, you think I have more? You know, it's funny, I got to tell you this. At one of the Sunday school, I brought a knapsack and I set it on the front just like this. And at the end of the Sunday school, someone asked. He said, what's in the knapsack? I said, nothing. But they were all looking to see what I was going to pull out from the knapsack. So here, well, I'll show you one thing for now. Or something. I do have more. This is actually to the kindest. I think of the brethren at at Vesco a couple of Sunday schools years ago, I said, I forgot goodies, and I mentioned it to two people, and they all brought me back. One brought me back Dum Dum, another one brought me back Smarties. So it was good. We had a really good choice. Anyone else? So today we only have Dum Dums, because I figure I'm coming to the U.S., you're more familiar with Dum Dum. Would you do me a favor on top of this? Would you be brave enough to hold this for me and pass it out for me to the next kid? That means, yes, you can take one for yourself too. Who else? Go ahead. Very good. Go ahead. Thank you. Go ahead. Okay, Dad can help. Good. Very good. That's good. You know, I do understand. It is difficult, isn't it, standing up? When I was younger, I could not figure out why people want me to stand up in front of everyone else just to say a verse. And I know you practice, you say it perfectly at home, then you stand up. That's why you notice I didn't go down their roads, because that was my fear when I was younger. I used to go, two more, then it's my turn. And then the next person, then it's me, and then I couldn't say it. Okay.
Okay, Sensei, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him.
See, she said the whole verse. She must be the smarter one. No? Okay. Well, then you can have a dum-dum. Oh, let me have him first. Go ahead. Okay, I guess that was good. And you had your hand up, right? Anyone else? Oh, we haven't started this side yet. Now, if I miss somebody, make sure you wave your hand, okay? Not that I can't hear. That's a problem. I can't see too well now. So make sure I can see you. No? Go ahead. Anyone else back there? We got one. Oh, did I miss somebody? Okay. Very good. Anyone else? Now, here's what we can do. For those that know it, but afraid to stand up, you say it to your mom and dad, and then you come tell me that you said it, and we'll have that candy. I'm going to leave. No, I guess I can't. This next meeting. Just come see me after. Okay? Thank you. Just for that, you can have another one. Let's sing another hymn. Who has another hymn for us? Yes. Number two, can we sing just the first verse? That's a long one. Okay. Hymn number two. Come, 'tis Jesus gently call.
Thank you. when we have a Sunday school event like this, you know what I find difficult is, who do I talk with? We have a room here ranging from perhaps close to newborn, and we have kids that are over 70 years old, some are even older.
We got a wide range of kids, don't we? Huh? Like we sing that hymn, a little child of 7 or even 34. And sometimes we change it and say a little child of 70, right? It's all little ones, but when you talk to a child of 3 or 4, you speak differently, don't we? And I wrestle with that, because in this room, we got children of all ages. So today, I hope the parents of the little children don't mind, I'd like to speak to the older children, maybe the teenagers, because we got things we need to wrestle with too, don't we? So the gospel is for all ages. And I want to talk about armor. It sounds funny, and I don't want to pick on our brethren here in the United States of America. Armor is something becoming more conscious to people's mind, right? I heard now that you can even get bulletproof backpack to go to school with. So what are armors for? Why do we people buy armors? Now, I know you might think of the old days where they got this big plated chain-coated armor. What are armors for? Anyone can help me with that? Why did people wear armor? So they don't get hurt. So another word for protection, isn't it? Is there any other reason for armor? Is it for fashion show? Yeah? You can see a model going up there displaying the armor they have. Well, I'm not sure about that. Perhaps, actually, hold that thought, because I think he could be right, partly right. We're going to see what Scripture have to say about armor. Now, when we talk about armor, we often think about what? The helmet of salvation. What's on our breastplate? That's the faith. And so on. You're familiar with the armor. I'm not going to talk about that today because I know most of you know it very well. I'm going to show you my armor first, and then we're going to read the verse. So let me take my jacket off. This is not a bulletproof jacket, so it's not an armor. And I'm going to show you an armor. I have to quickly produce this. How many of you have seen this kind of armor? Do you think this gives you protection? Sure would if someone shoots a spitball at you, right? Do you think this is an armor? It's tough. I can stretch it as long as I don't stretch it too hard. Huh? Do you think this will protect you? Now, I want to show you that this is an armor, but not an armor that you're thinking of. So, turn with me now to the book of Romans. Let's see what kind of armor this could be. I'm going to read a few verses to get a connection. So I'm going to start with verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. You heard of that verse before, haven't you? You know, that's the funny thing. A lot of words we hear from the Word of God, but often we only know that little bit. We don't look at what's before. We don't look at what's after. We don't look at the context of why those verses are written. So sometimes it's good to look and read the verses before and after. So it tells us the night is far spent and the day is at hand. And then there's a colon there. To continue on with this thought, it says, let us therefore cast off the works of what? the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor. What is it? The armor. I'm going to put this on. He said, we cast off the work of darkness, and we're going to put on, well, let's pretend this is what it is. This is just a safety vest, and we're going to put on an armor of light. Mm-hmm. Is that a funny kind of armor? Mm-hmm. An armor of light. Well, what can you do with this? Who would like to play hide and seek tonight with this on? And I would even give you 10 seconds head start. But why? Why do we need, you would think, an armor? Give me a bulletproof armor. Or at least made out of brass or iron or something strong. But this just light? Now let's read on. That's why we have to, don't we? Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So it tells us we should walk honestly. Now, let me ask you children this, younger one, older ones, how come your parents, before you go out, would say, can you make sure you don't do... Why did they say that? Because most likely, your mom and dad know you're going to do it. Right? Some of you who are a little older drive, mom and dad said, don't speed. You go, okay, mom. She's not in the car. Right? Mom said, there's extra cookies in the cookie jar. You can have one, but no one else is in the room and the jar is full. Do we do that? We could take an extra one. That's disobedient, right? And in this country, we said, we believe in honesty. And then we find people who claim they're honest turn out to be dishonest. But the Word of God tells us that we should be honest. We walk honestly, whether someone know it or not, because someone knows when we cheat, doesn't he? So the rest, I'm not going to get too detailed on those words. It's not proper for today or this morning. And for you younger, older young people, you should look up what those words mean. A lot of immoral sins are listed here. You know, not long ago, unless I got my news mixed up, you folks down here in the state of California, anyone from California here? Do you remember the governor of California wanted to put a ban on the sale of the Bible? It gone through whatever you call them, the certain initial level, and they were going to see if they can pass it in the Senate. Terrible. Why did he want that? He said, the Word of God, he didn't say that. He said, the Bible condemned a lot of people in this world. It's prejudice against many people. He wanted a ban. The Bible here in our hand is our guide. It tells us we are to walk honestly as in the day. That's why the previous verse said the day, the night is far spent. The night's almost gone. Why do people like night? How many of you like it in the dark? Why do bad people do things in the dark? Do you think a man will go rob, steal someone's, break into somebody's house at night and put in a vest of light? Unless you watch those funny movies where they have the dumbest criminal, we won't, would we? Because we are as a light to this world. So we are to walk honestly. Even though this doesn't look like much of a protection, it is a protection as a Christian to walk in the way pleasing to God. Let's read one more verse on there. Verse 14. Not just putting on a vest as if it were. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Where, how do you put on Christ? We can't wear him. But that's tough, isn't it, to think of what does it really mean? Now, I don't want to pick up girls. I know boys do that too. And maybe the girls here don't do that. You know, there's some movie star, some famous people, maybe someone just got married to a prince or something, and they have a new dress. What do most women do? They want to buy a dress just like that one, don't they? Now, guys, you're laughing. We do that too. Maybe not a dress. They're putting on something so they want to look like or want people to think they're just like that lady who was nobody and became a princess. Isn't that a wonderful story? But here the word of God said, no, you're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you behave. But that's what walk means, isn't it? Yeah. The way you are when someone sees you, you say, you are like that man who came down named Jesus. So we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 6. It also talks about another armor. It was a light, and you can look that up. I believe it talks about the armor of righteousness. We don't use those words much today, do we? Righteousness. It's not my thought to go into that. You can look that up. You're old enough now. What is righteousness? What is holiness? Those words are important words, isn't it? So here, we're exalted to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are to walk. Now, I want to change my address a little bit to someone who is a little older. I made a comment earlier that Sunday school is for children 3 or 4 or even 70, isn't it? Some of us are approaching that, so we know what it's like. And I made a comment that verses in front of you, sometimes we'll quote often, but we don't look at the whole thing. What is this chapter about? Now, I'll share with you something that's funny. As many of you know, we're from Canada. And in Canada, a lot of people don't like your President Trump. You know that? And then I found out a lot of people down here don't like him neither. And then I found out a lot of people that are Christians don't like him. That's terrible. This chapter begins by warning us as Christians. Let me read the first verse, and I won't spend too much time on that. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Let me read the second verse. To whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist them shall receive to themselves damnation. I remember even my own father was listing all his problems he heard, and I said, Dad, did you pray for him? Oh, I can't pray for a man like that. Bad mistake, isn't it? The Word of God tells us that. And for us who are a little older, I learned this three words. The government in our place that God has put in, we're to do three things. We are to pay. I know it sounds sad. When you start making money, you know what it means. You've got to pay taxes and so on. We're to pay, to pray, and to obey. That's what this chapter is about. That's why he bring out at the end of the chapter that we are to be the light. So if you're the one who cursed the president or who cheat on the income tax, you're not walking honestly, are you? Doesn't matter how you feel, you can justify the action because God has put those men in place. And by the way, no rulers that were ever put in place were Mr. Nice Guy. Was Saul? Man elected Saul. That was the first election. Was he a nice guy? God put in place Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think he was a kind person? Cyrus came to the rise. Was he a nice man? No, even though the Lord said, Cyrus, my servant, and that Nebuchadnezzar, my shepherd. So children, remember, you are to be seen as if you were the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to have the armor of light. Now, if anyone wants to borrow this tonight to play hide and seek, you're happy to borrow that. Let's have another hymn. Anyone else? Ha! Hymn number 47. Oh, this is nice. I think this goes so well with what we talked about, because while we on this earth, we're to obey, trusting, we sometimes say trust and obey, we're trusting that God will provide and that all things are done according to his will. And then in the meantime, we're waiting for the Lord Jesus soon return. This is one of the blessed hope that the church as a whole has forgotten, and that we have the reminder often. You know, in perhaps another half hour, an hour, we have the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus and his death for us. And sometimes we forget. Right? We say, we're going to a meeting. What are we there for? We're there to remember him and his death. That's the sole purpose. But there's also something. So I was thinking of that verse. It says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, it says, ye do show, what are we to show the world? This is the light. We do show the Lord's death. Ah, that's part of that light, isn't it? That we have that armor of light on to show the world. We remember his death. But then that verse is not finished. There's a little bit more to it. That for ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So the Lord's coming is always in association with his death. In fact, death and resurrection in Scripture always go together, because it's a reminder that Jesus came into this world. He died for our sins after 3 days. God raised him from the dead, proving that God is satisfied with the finished work he has done. Not only so, he ascended back to heaven, seated at God's right hand on high. There's no man on this earth ever descended. No man ever done that, let alone ascended back. So now we're waiting for his return to take us to be home with himself. Hymn number, I forget now, 47. But one dum-dum, who can tell me what did this vest represent? What did we speak on? It was a picture of the, just one hand. Okay, what was it about?
The armor of God.
That's close. I'll give you a dum-dum. Who can say the word that we use? The armor of... All right. The armor of light. Oh, you're going to have your teeth. I know you're going to give it all away, right? So your mom won't blame me. Who can tell me... It talks about putting on the... But more so than just the armor of light. It says something about the put on something else. I'm going to say that. I know you know. We'll keep it in the family. Put on what?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Aha. Your dad's going to have a nice dentist bill now. Let's commend ourselves. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks for the time here with thy word open before us. We thank thee that thou hast exalted us to live honestly, righteously, and holy in this dark, evil world. We know we can't do it on our own. We know we're weak. We know often get distracted and failed. But we know we can put our dependence upon thee. So we pray that thou would help us, that we may be a testimony for thy namesake. So we commit each and every one here into thine hand, asking for help, asking for guidance, asking for blessings, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.